the daughters of Canaan, arise and go to my father's mother, or my father's, and take thee a wife from thence, the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. Chapter 29, verse 1. Then Jacob went on his journey, and he came to the land of the people of the east. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful again for this wonderful book, the book of beginnings, first book of scripture. And so, Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, just asking you to be pleased and bless the service today. We pray, Father, that on purpose we would hear. We pray, Lord, that we would listen. We pray, Lord, that we would apply the truths that we hear today to our lives and our hearts. We pray, Father, that we'll grow this morning and be mature and perfected in Scripture. Thank you for Jacob. Thank you for his life. Thank you for what we can learn from him. Father, good or bad, we learn what not to do, and good or bad, we learn what to do. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know the story. Abraham was promised a son. He finally had a son at 100 years of age. His name was Isaac. Isaac was promised to be the promised son that would, you know, multiply the nations with his seed. And Isaac's gets married and at 40 years of age, meets Rebecca. And they can't conceive for 20 years, and so now he's 60. He prays to the Lord to give him children, to give his wife children. And lo and behold, they had twins. A boy by the name of Esau, a boy by the name of Jacob. And so we know his start. We also know Jacob's schemes, and we know how Jacob schemed his family. He schemed them, deceived his brother out of his birthright, and he schemed his father out of the blessing. So it's a messy story, very dysfunctional, but that's what God put for us to have in these verses, these scriptures, these chapters. And so now we come to chapter 29, and so Jacob's leaving that area. His parents don't want him getting involved with the type of girls that his brother Esau married, which were false idol worshipers, false god worshipers. And so he's leaving and going to his homeland. And that's what we see here in chapter 29. Again, then Jacob went on his journey. He came to the land of the people of the east. So we see Jacob, he flees from the family. He's going to escape the threat of his brother Esau, who has promised to kill him once their dad dies. And Jacob, no doubt, feels like that his whole life he's been able to do what he wants to. Jacob really thinks in his heart, and how many young boys don't, he thinks that I can get by with my actions. I'll be accountable to myself, and I'll just call my own shots, and I'll just control my own life. And that's what we have in Jacob. But all the time that up until chapter 29, all this time Jacob has been a con artist. All this time Jacob and his own family, he's with his siblings, with his parents, he's been a trickster, he's been a deceiver. So we see Jacob in chapter 29 with all this baggage, all this history, with all this back experience that Jacob has, and he's leaving to go start a new life. But what Jacob don't know is God knows. What Jacob didn't know is that God knows his name, as Brother Reuben said this morning, and what Jacob don't know is he's in for some stuff that's going to come back. And what Jacob don't know is he's fixed to go to the school of hard knocks. When people leave God's will, like the prodigal in Luke 15, They can go. They have the choice. They can make that decision. But there's a reckoning day coming, and for Jacob, he's fixing to go to the university or the school of hard knocks. Verse tells us in chapter 29, verse 1, it says that Jacob lands in Haran. And right off the bat, he notices a young girl. So he gets there, and he gets to that area. And when he gets there, it came to pass in verse 10, say chapter 29, came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban's, his mother's brother. And so he gets into town, he gets into the country, he gets into the area where his parents, his mom's family are from, and he lands there and he sees out of his eyes, those trickster eyes, those deceiving eyes, he sees a shepherdess, a female shepherd. That's what he sees. Rachel's got this flock of sheep. That's what he sees. And so he decides to help her out, help her water those sheep. And he pulls the stone away and helps her right off the bat. And then they kind of get acquainted there in verse 9 and 10 and talk a little bit about it. And then verse 11, did you notice? He helps her out with the flock. He helps her out watering them. And I'm sure they have a little small talk. And then the Bible says in verse 11, and Jacob kissed Rachel. It must have been love at first sight. It must have been their first date. Now, I have to admit something to you today. I did not kiss my wife, Cheryl, on our first date. I have to admit that I wanted to kiss her on my first date. But I had a good reason not to kiss her on my first date because I was 15 years of old and my chaperone was my mom. Remember that, Cheryl? So, I told you last week that we can kind of identify with Jacob. You know, Jacob's one of those guys that we can just identify with. Because we've all done stuff. And we've all thought we knew the answers. And we all thought that we could make it on our own. We all thought those kinds of things. And so we see here right off the bat, he's kissing Rachel. Just matter. And then notice all of a sudden it just kind of escalates. And look at verse 15. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me? Tell me what thy wages will be. So Laban could use a good hand. They're sheep herders or farmers, hard work. And so he could use a good hand. And Laban just comes and says, I'd like to put you to work, Jacob. What kind of wage would you need? In verse 16 and 17, notice what it says. And Laban said, and Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. Now we got the narrative just kind of unfolding before our eyes. Jacob's on the run. He finally makes it to Haran. And he's there. His eyes are fixated on this beautiful girl named Rachel. And her dad, Jacob's uncle, tells him, look, I need a good hand. What kind of wages would you need to work for me? And lo and behold, Laban has two daughters. The Bible says the oldest one was Leah. And did you notice it says that She was Sarai. It says two daughters, Leah, and the name was younger, for Leah was tender-eyed. And so what that kind of means is that it kind of means that Leah was a little homely. We'll just use that word. The Bible says tender-eyed. It really means sore on the eyes. And so two daughters, one is a little homely, but then it says Rachel, and the Bible gives the details that Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. So Jacob said, I'll tell you what the wages will be. I will work for you 7 years if I can have your daughter Rachel, your younger daughter, as my wife, my bride. And they make the deal. And the Bible says that Jacob rolls his sleeves up. He begins working. He begins working the fields. He begins building fences. He begins planting crops. You can only imagine all the things he had to do. He began digging wells and watering stock like he did with Rachel that first day they met. And in those days, they worked from sun up to sundown. They were long days. They were hot days. It was dry climate. It was hard work. It was hard labor. It was hard toil. But notice verse 20, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And they seemed unto him but just a few days. For the love he had for Rachel. He'd been working hard. He'd been working long days. And Scripture says, and you see it before you, Scripture says, man, after 7 long years of working hard labor, blister and callous like labor on his hands and his knuckles, hey, he worked hard, he was wore out, he was spent. Man, he had simply put a lot into it. It said it just seemed like a few days for the love he had for Rachel. You see, Rachel every night at the end of the day, he'd go to bed thinking about Rachel. He'd go to bed dreaming about Rachel. He'd go to bed caught up with, hey, I'm a day closer to 7 years to finally get to marry the girl of my dreams, Rachel. One day closer. Hey, remember when that was the case in your marriage? Remember when you met that special someone? Maybe you didn't meet that person in the fields watering sheep. Maybe you didn't meet him out there with the father-in-law watching every move you made. Maybe that's not what you did, but you remember when you met that special someone. He was smitten. I mean, all you could think about was that other person. He was captivated. Nothing else. No other distractions. You was laser beam focused on that person. You was awestruck. We've all been there. You was consumed. Couldn't spend enough time. Couldn't talk enough. Remember those days? Okay, now you can relate to Jacob. Man, he described us. He described us when we first fell in love with our love. And we see him there. That's why we can identify with him. He worked, rolled his sleeves up, went to work, did the work, followed through. For the day, for 7 years, so he could simply marry the girl that he fell in love with. So he's completed. He's completed the agreement, the contract, the handshake with his father-in-law, Laban. It's completed, and now he's ready to cash in. Oh, man, is he ready to cash in. Verse 21. And Jacob said to Laban, I mean, it's the next verse. He can't wait. And Jacob said to his father-in-law, Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled that I may go into her, that I may marry her. The custom of the day, the culture of the day consisted of a ceremony that lasted 7 days. The wedding was always at night, and the bride was heavily veiled. That was the culture. Once they celebrated with the community for 7 days, then they simply, the newlyweds, would go to a selected honeymoon tent
where the marriage would be consummated. Once in that culture, once the marriage was consummated, that means they came together in an intimate way for the very first time, then that marriage, don't miss it, that marriage, under the culture and the law of that day, was non-revocable, non-reversible. So getting married was a big deal. Choosing the right person is a big deal. Because once you consummate the marriage, according to Bible standards, Bible culture, and the customs of the day, then it's a done deal. Jacob can hardly wait. He's been waiting. You ready? He's been waiting for 7 years and 7 days. He's ready. He's gung-ho. And the Bible tells us, as you read the rest of the story, that he gets married. They have the ceremony. It's at night. The bride is heavily veiled. And so they get to the selected honeymoon tent. And Jacob goes to bed in the tent with his arms wrapped around who he thought was his dream, his prize, his honey. And he wakes up the very next morning, married to not Rachel, but married to Leah. Let me remind you, Sorites. Married to homely Leah. Married to his sister, Rachel's sister. Married to the wrong girl. Married to the wrong bride of his dreams. We are talking about the school of hard knocks. That Jacob's now reaping what he sowed his whole life. Deceiving, cheating, lying his way through life. All of a sudden, he gets deceived. He gets cheated. He gets lied to. Verse 25, look at it with me. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, "What is this thou hast done to me? Did I not serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore then thou hast beguiled me?" Jacob. Jacob went to bed every night thinking about Rachel, thinking about this night, thinking about the marriage, thinking about the consummation. He went to bed every night for 7 long years of toil and labor and work with his hands, working for the prize for his wife. And lo and behold, he wakes up the morning after and he stretches, he rolls over, he sees he's looking for beautiful, well-favored Rachel. Surprise, surprise. It's Rachel's sister, Leah. Now, you can say what you want to, but that is messed up. That is big time messed up. And we see it right before our eyes here in the Bible. Hey, can I just tell you, I've told you this before. The Bible's not only not boring, but it's also funny. Now, it wasn't funny to Jacob, but I think it's kind of funny. He's deceived everybody. He's lied to people. I mean, he went as far as simply trying to fool his dad, who was blind, to give him a blessing, to putting all kind of goat hair all over his arms and the back of his neck, so when his dad would feel for Esau, because Esau was hairy, when he was born, and he's feeling around, and he deceived his dad. I mean, cons have these crazy ideas and crazy minds. They know how to do lots of things, and lo and behold, that's exactly what he did. And now he got conned. He got hoodwinked. He got bamboozled. It's kind of funny. How many people have woke up once they got married and realized, oh no, I've married the wrong person? I'll say it again. It's one of the biggest decisions you'll ever make. Marriage. You got to marry the right person. So Jacob goes to his father-in-law and says, man, what have you done? And Jacob, he wakes up in a rage, and man, he marches straight to Laban, and man, he calls him out. There's been a big mistake. Now remember, it can't be revoked. It can't be reversed. That's the custom law of the day. He said, you've beguiled me, Laban. You tricked me. You've deceived me. By the way, Jacob met his match. The deceiver got deceived. The weasel got weaseled. The trickster got tricked. Not funny. By the way, New Testament Galatians says, be not deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There's coming a reaping day. And Jacob's getting in the front end of it here. And it is not pretty. So Jacob sowed deception. And man, did he ever reap deception. If you've been deceived, if you've been on the wrong end of something, let me just tell you, leave it to the Lord. The Lord took care of this, and the Lord can take care of mine and your. Instead of us getting revenge, just turn over to the Lord. I know that's easier said than done, but that's exactly what we see here. Hey, leave it to the Lord to get even. Leave it up to the Lord to get revenge. Laban switched daughters at the 11th hour, changes brides at the 11th hour. Jacob said, I've served thee 7 years. I worked faithfully. I labored diligently. I want a refund. And Laban's saying, Jacob, sonny old boy, just take it easy. Take a deep breath. Chill out. My boy, we have a rule here in our country that the oldest daughter has to be married before the youngest daughter. So work 7 more years and you can have children. Jacob agreed. I mean, there's no hesitation. He's not questioning. Jacob worked 14 years for one woman, hand in marriage. Hey, can I confess to you? We have sung that song, that's some of your favorite songs, when we all get to heaven. Let me just confess, when I get to heaven, I don't know who you want to see after you see Jesus. I want to see Rachel. I want to see what she must look like. I'm just telling you. Anybody that worked 14 years just to marry her. Jacob's story, his start. The family that formed him, his scheming years, faults that followed him, his serving, failures that followed him. Now Jacob surrenders. In chapter 32, just a couple verses over, we see Jacob in verse 30. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, where I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Jacob enters into a wrestling match there in those prior verses. He's entering, meets the angel of the Lord, and he wrestles. And lo and behold, he gets an injury, a lifetime, the rest of his life injury out of that wrestling match. In chapter 32, he becomes a broken man. In verse 25. In verse 25, chapter 32, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So during the wrestling match between him and the angel of the Lord, which is the incarnate Lord Jesus Christ, according to Bible scholars, his thigh came out of joint. When the match started, Jacob's haughty. When the match ended, Jacob's humbled. A transformation takes place that only God can do. But not only is he a broken man, but he becomes a blessed man. Verse 26. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." It's amazing how we throw away broken things. Something breaks, we throw it away. You've done it, I've done it. Now, there are quarters that don't throw nothing away. So most people, if something breaks, you just throw it away and get a new one, or you replace it with something else, or you just do without it. But we serve a God that uses broken things. Most people throw broken things away, not God. He didn't throw Jacob away. He's got plans for Jacob. He's got huge plans for Jacob. He's got great possibilities for Jacob. He didn't throw Jacob away after all of his trickery and scheming and cheating and deceiving. Before God uses saints, he breaks them first and then uses them. And that's exactly what we're going to see he does here with Jacob. In verse 27, the angel that's wrestling Jacob said, "What is thy name?" The last time someone asked Jacob that question was his father, who couldn't see. The father heard the voice of Jacob, but asked Jacob, "What's thy name?" And he lied and told his dad, "I'm Esau." And he put his hands on that fake fur, the counterfeit fur, that to try to remind his blind daddy who he was. The last time someone asked me his name, he lied and said, "My name is Esau," lying right to his daddy. The angel of the Lord asked Jacob, "What's thy name?" He's seeking a confession. And Jacob, you read it there, Jacob says, "My name's Jacob." And the angel of the Lord says, "You're no more Jacob." Because the word Jacob means liar. You're no more Jacob. Hey, the word Jacob means conniver. You're no more Jacob. You're no more a con artist or a trickster. You're no longer Jacob. But now your name is Israel. A prince with God in man. God changed Jacob's name to Israel. A man that was wicked, mean, corrupt, immoral. He broke him. And then gave him the name of Israel, a prince with God in man. See, and then he branded. Jacob was not only a broken man and a blessed man, but now he's a branded man. In verse 31, Jacob arose and he halted upon that thigh. His thigh got out of joint and never got fixed. He's branded. Everywhere he goes, people see him limping. Everywhere he goes, he limps. He knows he's halted. He's kind of handicapped. He's kind of behind a little bit, but he's branded with that. For the very purpose for Jacob to never forget the night his life truly changed. That's the purpose of the wrestling. That's the purpose that God had to break him and then left and a permanent reminder of what God did in his life. Now's a new day. Now's a new start. Now's a new man. Now is a new outlook of life. And God has planned for his life. Jacob goes from wrestling God to worshiping God. Jacob goes from being a deceiver to becoming a disciple. Jacob goes from being self-centered to being God-centered. Jacob goes from being a fugitive to being a Hall of Fame faither in the great book of Hebrews chapter 11. I have no better news this morning. God loves you. God loves me. God loves Jacob. God loves us. And will forgive us. And we'll forgive our past. Listen to me. Had the great privilege of doing part of helping with a pastor ordination service last night. One of my former church members had surrendered to the ministry and asked me to be part of that service. And I heard my counterpart that did the service as well with me say, God wants us to do impossible things. And we don't think we can do it. God wants us to do impossible. In Matthew chapter 17, it says, hey, he said, if you have the faith for the grain of a mustard seed, man might say you can't do it, that it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. You know one of the impossible things that God's done in our lives, my life and your life? God did something we can't do. God forgave our sins. That's impossible, but not with God. You know something God did that we can't do? God not only forgave us, don't miss this, God forgets our sin. We can't forgive someone else's sins to the point where they're forgiven and saved. We can't forgive people's sin, but God can. Impossible things. We can't save people. God can save people. But now we've got Jacob, who God wants to use him to do impossible things. And we can do that when God breaks us and God blesses us and God brings us. But we're not ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed to be a Christian. We're not ashamed to be a follower of Christ. We're branded, folks know it. Let me remind you what's true. When God takes us to a new address spiritually, if we ever go back to that address, if we do it, or when we do it, if you go back and visit your old life, you go back to that old address, you're trespassing. We're branded. New outlook. New vision, God-focused, Christ-centered. God would take a guy like Jacob and do that with him. We can identify that God can use us under those circumstances. Hands are bowed, eyes are closed. What a story. What an ending. What a God. What a purpose God has for us. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful book of Genesis. We thank you, Lord, for Jacob. Father, have you take God that did wrong and beat people out of stuff and misled and deceived. Turn it around and use him and call his name Israel, where his sons will be named the tribes of Israel. What a legacy. What a plan and a purpose you have for Jacob's life. It's never too late for us to turn it around. Never too late for us to start anew. Never too late for us to get on the God man wagon. Lord, today, if someone's here, they don't know you personally. We pray, Lord, today they would come and get that stuff. Today, if someone's here and they want to follow Christ in believer's baptism, we pray today could be that day that they can make that public. Today, if someone's here and They've been thinking about joining our local church. They've just never done it yet. I pray that maybe today could be that day. Father, we pray that you would do what only you can do, not what we can do. And Father, for that, we'll thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. Brother Reuben's going to lead us in our invitation. If we can help you, you come. You can sing with Brother Reuben. You know that song. Hey, pray God loves you. He loves you like he loved.
Follow Jesus. I am beside you.
God's got a plan for your life. A purpose for your life. You got some man. He wants the best for your life.
So that's so me. I still will follow. Don't let go with me. I still will follow. I still will follow. Don't turn me down.
Let me pray for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the sweet spirit we have today. Thank you for your wonderful word, Lord, that we can look at and teach from this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the sweet Holy Spirit that can convict or not convict. And Father, we pray that we would always be sensitive to the nudge of the sweet Holy Spirit in our lives. If he nudges us, if he kind of pulls our heartstrings, Lord, that, Father, we would be obedient. We'd trust and obey as we sung earlier for the purpose of the best in our life is still yet to come. The best days of our life are ahead of us when we follow Jesus. So, Father, we pray that you bless each and every family here today. We pray you bless each and every marriage that's here today. We talked about marriage a little bit today. We pray that you would just bless every decision that has to be made from today on. Father, that we would always consider what's your will in that decision. Father, for that, we thank you. We love you. We pray you give us a good day today. We pray you bring us back here Wednesday for our sweet fellowship lunch. We pray you bless Paul's family, Lord, as they're getting things together for their celebration service for their life. We pray, Father, you bless Bradley Baptist Church. That we would be a lighthouse. That, Lord, it would be a place that folks could learn and grow and mature. It would be a place where, Father, you're pleased in what's said and what's sung. Lord, we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.